Good day, everyone, and welcome to Phoenix Solar's conference call with the presentation of the financial figures for the third quarter, 2010. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the call over to Dr. Andreas Haenel, Chief Executive Officer of Phoenix Solar AG. I also like to welcome Mrs. Sabine Kauper, Chief Financial Officer, in today's conference call. Mr. Haenel, you may now begin.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to our third quarter results call. With me in the line is Sabine Kauper. Sabine, our CFO, she's going to present you the financial of the third quarter. You should have all the presentation in front of you, and I'd like to move to page 3, which provides an overview about the key figures of the third quarter 2010. Further details will be explained by Sabine a little bit later. So the third quarter is fully in line with our expectations. You may remember the second quarter conference call where we already indicated that the market is going to slow down significantly in Germany in the third quarter. And if you have had a look at the German Bundesnetzagentur, the energy regulator, showing that the registrations in August 2010 were down by 85% compared to the June registrations, I think it proves that this prediction has been right. Overall, we have seen a slight increase in revenue compared to the third quarter 2009 with 6.2%. However, a significant increase in EBIT by 43% and net results by 130%. But what I like most is that we have achieved an extraordinary growth in international sales. So the international business moved from 6.8 million euros to 52.8 million euros in a year-on-year comparison, which is an increase of around 675%. We also had a good results in our equity ratio. We moved from 37% last year to 48.2% at the end of the third quarter. Before we come to the financials, I'd like to briefly highlight, as usual, our current situation in module sales. This is on page 5 of the presentation. On the right-hand upper side of the slides, you can see the megawatts sold in the different quarters. And we had 47 megawatts sold in the third quarter, which is an increase of 20% compared to the previous year's period. However, the 9-month comparison, 2010 and 2009, provides a significant upside in volumes to 224 megawatts, which is 143% more than in the previous year, which brings the total volume of modules and products sold by Phoenix Solar since we started operations to more than 650 megawatts. I would like now to hand over to Sabine. Sabine is going to present you the financials, and we start on page 7.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I will give you an overview of Phoenix Group financials now, starting with the group revenues on page 7. On the left-hand side of that page, you will see the annual development of revenues from the year 2006 to 2009. On the right-hand side, the quarterly development for the years 2009 and 2010. So, third quarter revenues were mainly affected by extraordinary feed-in tariff cuts in Germany by the 1st of July, resulting in a fall in demand. Revenues went up 6.2% to 95.3 million euros, compared with third quarter last year, 89.7 million euros. We are very happy about the fact that international sales increased about eightfold to 52.8 million in third quarter, with 21.2% international share in the whole business for the third quarter. So we already surpassed our 2010 target by the end of September to reach more than 20% international revenue for the whole year. This is very important in regard to our strategic target of internationalization. Please note in this connection what we expect international revenues from our U.S. subsidiary this nameable revenues in 2011 and not in 2010. As you can see from the quarterly chart, we expected pull-in effects lead to lower revenue from Q2 to Q3 from 283.6 million to 95.3 million. So let's move on to the group earnings on page 8. On the left-hand side, you can see the annual development of EBIT for the years 2006 to 2009. And on the right-hand side, you can see a chart with the quarterly development of EBIT for the years 2009 and 2010. And below, a table with the quarterly development of EBIT margin for the years 2009 and 2010. So third quarter EBIT went up 1.3 million to 4.3 million euros. Earnings per share reached 31 cents. EBIT was also affected by feed-in tariff cuts by 1st of July and the fall in German demand. If you look at the table below, you can see the quarterly development of EBIT margin from 5.8% to 7.9% in second quarter and 4.5% in third quarter. In total, we have reached an EBIT margin of 6.8%. As you know, Phoenix has two segments. On the one hand, our components and systems segment, which is our wholesale business, and on the other hand, our power plant business, which is our project segment. Now I would like to split the group figures in the two segments, and I will start with the components and systems segment on page 9. On the left-hand side, on page 9, you can again see the annual development of revenues of component and system segment. On the right-hand side, the quarterly development of EBIT. Below, you will find a table with the EBIT margins of component and system segments. Revenues went down 29.4% to 53.8 million compared with third quarter 2009 with 76.2 million. Component and system EBIT closed at break-even in third quarter due to falling revenues at constant fixed costs. Let's have a look at the table with EBIT margin again. So you will see the total EBIT margin is 8.8% for 2010 for the first three quarters. So now let's move on to power plant segment with an increase of EBIT margin in third quarter on page 10. On the left-hand side, you will see the quarterly development of revenue. On the right-hand side, the quarterly development of EBIT. If you have a look at the table below, you will see a continuous improvement of power plant EBIT margin from first quarter to third quarter. Power plant EBIT with 4.3 million euro reflects a higher margin of international projects. Revenues went up 207.1% to 41.5 million euro compared to third quarter with 13.5 million euro. Let's have a look at our order backlog on page 11. Order backlog provides a good visibility to year end 2010 and went up 65.2% year on year to 271 million euro, in contrast to 164 million euro for third quarter 2009. The power plant order backlog of 206 million includes free order backlog of 82 million euros. This means that percentage of completion sales already booked are not included in this free order backlog. In general, our order backlog is dominated by power plant orders. Let's have a look at our balance sheet on page 12. Balance sheet is affected mainly by an increase in inventories for our expected projects in quarter four. So current assets show an increase from 172.9 million to 278 million, so mainly caused by an increase of inventory from 69.2 million to 138.4 million. Stock in warehouse amounts to 105 million euros and good in transit to 33.4 million euros. But also by receivables from long-term construction contracts from with 71.2 million, as many projects in power plant segments are still under construction and therefore not invoiced yet. Let's have a look at liabilities and shareholders' equity. Shareholders' equity adds up to a total to 139.1 million, including our capital increase arranged in July with a volume about 21 million euros. Current liabilities also show an increase from 81.9 million to 142.8 million with trade payables, which amount to 68.9 million, with 33.4 million liabilities for goods in transits and 35.5 million liabilities for subcontractors and suppliers. Equity ratio amounts to 48.2% for the third quarter 2010. Let's switch over to the working capital analysis on page 13. Working capital adds up to 137.2 million in contrast to 92.8 million by the end of year 2009. Working capital ratio amounts to 19.9%, which shows a slight increase compared to the end of December 2009. The operating cash flow analysis on page 14 is a topic I would like to inform you about now. Our operating cash flow is negative with 80.3 million euros. Cash flow was mainly influenced by increase of receivables from long-term construction contracts and inventories I already mentioned before. So thank you for your attention. Now Andreas Hähnel will continue the presentation, giving you some more information about the true value of PV in Germany.
Okay, thank you, Sabine. I'd like to introduce a study to you which we have had conducted by A.T. Kearney on behalf of Phoenix Solar, and it has been published in the framework of a press conference in Berlin last week. The title is The True Value of PV in Germany, and I'd like to explain you why we have asked A.T. Kearney to do this study. First of all, you may know that the differential costs being imposed to end customer is going to increase from about 2 cents to 3.5 cents per kilowatt hour in the coming year. We have had already lots of negative press in Germany about this increased burden on the end customers. And at the same time, Phoenix Solar and we had some doubts that the differential cost calculation is correct in the sense of photovoltaic. And I'd like to briefly try to highlight you the results of the findings of A.T. Kearney. A.T. Kearney, by the way, is a very well-known company, very often supporting the big utility companies, E.ON, RWE, and others. So the results are quite amazing because the findings were that the current mechanism of differential cost calculation probably needs to be adapted to the real value of photovoltaics, because the stock market price on the Leipzig-based European Energy Exchange, which is being used to calculate the differential cost, is unsuitable as a benchmark for pricing photovoltaic electricity. Why that? A.T. Kearney has figured out that the conventional electricity generation being replaced in the grid by photovoltaics is gas and hard coal-fired power plants. And the costs of newly built gas and hard coal-fired power plants is a much better benchmark for valuing the photovoltaic electricity compared to the Leipzig-based European Energy Exchange pricing. if we change the calculation process of differential cost according to the study and according to the recommendations of the study, there will be an immediately reduction of the differential costs imposed to end customers by about 18%. If we would take into account that the assumptions behind the market expectations 2010 and 2011 is 9.5 gigawatts in each year, which we consider very unrealistic, and if we would come to a value which we consider more realistic, that means 8 gigawatts this year and 6 gigawatts next year, the differential cost could be even lowered by another 6%, totaling 24% immediately reduction of the burden on electricity consumers. A quite interesting result is also that already in 2010, the break even for the installed photovoltaic capacity has been achieved for the first time since the EEG started back in 2000, which means that the benefits of the PV systems is higher than the costs which are imposed by the PV system. We move on to page 17, looking at the competitiveness of PV. You may recall the cost discussion or the grid parity discussion which we have every now and then, and very often grid parity is being linked to the moment when the end consumer pricing, the retail prices, is being achieved. We believe that that's not a correct value of measuring grid parity. We think that economic break-even is being achieved at the point of time when photovoltaic electricity can be produced at a cost or price level of gas and hard coal fired power plants. And this is going to be the case in about 5 to 8 years in Germany as a result of A.T. Kearney's study. At this point in time, PV electricity can be taxed and loaded with full grid costs exactly like conventional electricity. The following slides on page 18 to 20 give you an overview about the key findings, the ones which I just highlighted in the summary table. And I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that we currently have the study, which is only available in German language under translation, and probably by the end of this week, beginning of next week, an English translation will be available at our website. So if you check beginning of next week, you will find the English translation. But this line on page 18 indicates that since the beginning of the EEG, up to the year 2009, there was a period of negative returns for all those tariff investments made in the PV capacity built in the respective year. And starting with 2010 and even more pronounced in the year 2011, now we have positive returns for the tariff investments. So it means if you take the macroeconomic situation of photovoltaics, benefits versus cost, we have reached the peak even for the first time in 2010. Let's move on to page 19, and this is an indication about how the return of PV installation looks like for all PV investments done in the year 2000 to 2011 expected, under the assumption that the PV capacity added will be 8 gigawatts this year and 6 gigawatts next year. And the findings are on the right-hand upper side, that this 4% indicates this is the quantified PV benefit by the end of 2011, which means that if you take into account all EEG tariff payments and add up the benefits, including the real value of PV, you will have a positive benefit. You will have a benefit of 4% at the end of 2011. So all the investments which have been done in the previous years, they are then fully compensated by the end of next year. Last slide to this topic is on page 20. I highlighted that in 5 to 8 years from now, PV could be or can be competitive to conventional electricity compared to gas and hard coal-fired power plants. And this graph gives you an indication when this break-even is going to be achieved on middle voltage level. This is the blue part of the slide. Or low voltage, which is the yellow part of the side. If you only move due to time reasons to the middle voltage, you can see on the left-hand side conventional prices moving up from 2010 to 2020. And you see on the right-hand side PV system prices moving down from 2010 to 2020. Under the assumption of the International Energy Agency's assumption on price development of gas and coal, and under the assumption that we include CO2 abatement costs in conventional electricity and net system effects in PV, by around 2015, the break-even is going to be achieved. So that means middle voltage first, and a couple of years later, under this basis, in this scenario, it's about 3 years later, also on low voltage, the break-even is going to be achieved. If we move on now to, I'd like to conclude this one, let's move on to the highlights of the third quarter, the market expectations 2011, and given the fact that we have already had 20 minutes of presentation, I'd like to skip page 22 with the project highlights in Q3, because they have been published in different press releases, and you can have a look, I think, yourself. This also includes on page 23 the capital market situation, so the issue of new shares, which we did in July, and our international expansion activities in the United States and in Malaysia. And I'd like to immediately move to page 24, which now gives a good picture about where Phoenix is currently located. We are now based in 10 countries in 4 continents. So the newcomers in this slide is the United States, which is operational since a couple of weeks now, and also Malaysia, which we consider an interesting market because from the beginning of next year there will be a feed-in tariff similar to the German tariff, which then is going to lead also to a significant market stimulation in Malaysia. So overall, I think we are in the meantime well placed to profit from our international growth, and I think this is also being reflected in the quite high international sales of 55% in the third quarter. Let's move on to page 25. Our market expectations for Germany 2011 and beyond, so the 2010 expectations, 8 gigawatts, 7 to 8 gigawatts, I've already explained. We think that the German market may have seen its peak volume in 2010. We do expect that the German market is consolidating a bit in 2011, going down to 6 gigawatts, a bit more of consolidation probably in the years to follow. We consider the market volume in Germany this year to be extreme, and we don't expect it to see it in the coming years. I also like to underpin that it's, I think, very important for the PV industry to try to comply with the targets, the PV targets of the National Action Plan of the German government, which comes in at 52 gigawatts by the year 2020. This can be achieved with 8 this year, 6 gigawatts next year, and about 3 to 4 gigawatts from 2012 to 2020. So from a political standpoint, it can also be very helpful if the German market cools down a little bit. So let's say if this phase of cooling down, which we see in the third and in the fourth quarter this year, is going to continue also in the next couple of years, because we assume that at the same time other markets worldwide will emerge. We believe that in the last 5 quarters we have seen no significant price declines from manufacturers. We believe there is now enough room to lower module and system prices from 1st January 2011 to compensate for the feed-in cuts of 13%. If we see the 13% price declines, then we're going to see a market volume of around 6 gigawatt. If the price decline should be below that value, very surely we're not going to reach the 6 gigawatt in Germany. But on the other side, if the prices should fall further, and if you should see that the new EEG regulations by 2012, they could also stimulate some pull-in effects into 2011. So on page 26, we have highlighted our world market growth expectations for 2011. So very, very much in brief, we think, again, there will be another growth of the world market, not as rapid as the growth which we have seen in 2010 over 2009. Nonetheless, we think 10 to 20% is a reasonable growth rate for next year. We believe that all markets may grow in 2011 except Germany and the Czech Republic, and we may see at least 4 gigawatt markets in 2011. If we are happy, this is 5, this may be 5, and this is Germany, United States, Italy, Japan, and depending on the cap discussion, possibly also France. So I'm at the end of the presentation, and I would now like to open the floor for your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the Q&A period. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 9 star on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press 9 star again. As a courtesy to those individuals seeking to ask questions, we kindly ask that all participants limit themselves to 2 questions. The first question comes from Lauren Likuanen from Commerzbank. Please, may we have your question now?
Oh, thank you for taking my question. Just wanted to ask about your expectations for Q4 this year and Q1 next year in terms of module pricing from Chinese customers. That's my first question. And then second question just on your inverter suppliers. Are you increasing the number of inverter suppliers that you're sourcing from, reducing it, and what are you doing in that regard?
Oh, see, thank you for this question. So the first question is pricing. We are currently in a phase of market change. So we currently see that the end customer prices is already moving down. So there is a trend already to clear the inventory on the level of installers and systems integrator. So this is going to push prices already a little bit down in the fourth quarter. We do expect also a price in the first quarter which is going to be below or let's say in accordance with the feed-in cuts which we're going to see on the German market beginning of next year. The world of the suppliers is falling apart a little bit because you address the Chinese players. They still believe very irrational from my point of view that they would be in a position to keep up pricing beginning of next year. Well, the past experience shows that if someone doesn't learn its lesson, it may come harsher, a little bit harsher in the beginning of next year, so maybe end of the first quarter, latest beginning of the second quarter, we're going to see for sure a certain price move. So I'm very sure that the pricing will come down on a broader range. Mm-hmm. And to your second question, inverter supplier, we have brought a couple of new suppliers on board in the face of inverter tightness, and given the fact that the situation is very much relaxed now in inverter supply, there's absolutely no more need to take further suppliers on board.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
The next question comes from Katerina Koleva from WestLB. Please, Mrs. Koleva, may we have your question now?
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. I think I have a follow-up question because I am trying to figure out what the volumes could be like in the fourth quarter in Germany. So you said that your customers have started to clear their inventory, which means they have modules left from the third quarter for the fourth quarter, hence the orders may not be as big in the fourth quarter as last year. Is that what I can assume? And secondly, your order backlog, I wonder if you could give us a split of the order backlog for power plants by region, maybe Germany and non-German projects, please.
Okay, to your first question, the inventory clearance is not very much an issue of our customers because they usually don't have too much inventory. We know it from our peers that they currently start to clear inventory in order to get rid of most material by the end of the year, in order to be able to start the year, let's say, with fresh and lower-priced material. So this is a general trend which we see on the market. As far as your expectations are concerned let me check that one. Inventory in the second part was because I have to look up a little bit in the press release in order to answer your second question. The second half was? Oh, yeah, the volume in the fourth quarter this year. Yes, I think we probably might see a volume which is in the range of or slightly below the value of Q4 2009. Mm-hmm. That's my current expectation, seeing what's going on the market. For sure, we're not going to reach the values of Q2, by far not. And probably it could also be below the values of 2009 in the fourth quarter. Now, to your second questions about the split in power plants, order backlog, There is, I think, an indication in the press release. We have had quite significant orders from outside Germany. So for the segment components and system, there were 22.4 million euros coming from abroad, so a quite significant volume. And in the power plant business, it was around 94 million euros coming abroad compared to the total volume. So we're talking about 120 million euros total order backlog outside Germany.
Sorry, I think I missed that. So, and the international orders for power plants will be realized this year?
They are planned to be realized, most of them, in the course of this year. But there's also some likelihood that in Southern Europe, we're going to start some projects probably this year, which are going to be finalized beginning of next year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
The next question comes from Jesse Pichel from Jefferies. Please, may we have your question now?
Andreas, hello. This is Ellis Ackland. I'm calling on behalf of Jesse today.
Yes, hello.
Hello. First of all, congratulations on the progress with the expansion of your international business. That was quite a pleasing number to see.
Thanks.
Two topics for us today that I'd like to touch on, some comments in from your presentation and also follow up from a question earlier, just to maybe get a little bit better feeling for pricing into early next year. If what you are saying at this point, you're seeing a bit of stubbornness from some of your suppliers to concede that they are going to have to come down in pricing at this point, or are you seeing the ice break a little bit so that you are going to be able to indeed maintain your margin to compensate for the 13% drop in the FIT? So that would be the first topic. And then the second one is we'd also be interested in hearing your thoughts on demand for CadTel products in 2011, how that is shaping up.
Okay. Well, to your pricing questions in the first quarter, or let's say in the first half 2011, I believe that we will need to see the price coming down, and I think everyone needs to give a certain share and support this pricing development just in order to maintain the market at the high level. We will not be in a position next year that foreign markets can fully compensate for a significantly declining German market. So I think the German market is extremely important also in 2011, maybe less important than 2012, but I think 2011 a lot of importance. And everyone has to make a contribution. So if the module supply is lower by around 13%, there is still the contribution to be made by the balance of system side, so the inverter manufacturers, the installers, the system integrators, and this also needs to come in at around 13%. And typically for the years going forward, we do expect that the balance of system costs can probably be lowered by 5 to 7% per year, taking into consideration that 80% of the cost of ground-mounted installations, the supporting structure, is material costs, which is world market prices, which we cannot affect. So there needs to be a move, and everyone has to contribute. That's the message. Second is demand for CadTel products. Yes, I think we have seen this year that there is still a demand for CadTel products. This year we have done some good sales, and for the following years, and for 2011 in particular, we have signed a contract extension with First Solar, as you may know, not taking only those volumes which we have initially committed in the contract, but even some surplus amounts. So we are quite confident that we will see a good selling base for CadTel next year.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Arindam Basu from Barclays. Please, may we have your question now?
Thanks. Thanks for taking my question. Just one question on German policy. You mentioned that the PV industry should comply to the national action plan of 52 gigawatts by 2020. Given where installations are already or will be at the end of this year, you can accommodate a much lower annual installation rate and still get to the 52 gigawatts. So how real do you think is the possibility of a cap? Because even if you go to about 3.5, 4 gigawatts, you do get to that 52 gigawatts number.
Well, the risk which we have is the market is still continuing to grow, and the feed-in cuts do not help to slow down the market. We may see a tough reaction, which could end up in, let's say, a hard cap. So what we also in the industry could do is also try to make sure that we increase our international sales. We are a little bit more cautious on the German market. We try to reduce quantities into the German market in order to make sure that we don't surpass these values which I initially mentioned. If we finally are in a point, let's say that in a couple of years from now, we're going to achieve the economic break-even compared to conventional electricity. That's what I pointed out in my presentation as well. I think this is going to be a game changer then, because if we're entering in, say, somewhere in between 2015 and 2018, we are step-by-step becoming independent from the EEG, and then a new market mechanism is going to emerge. And this could also lead to the fact that by the end of the decade, the capacity may increase further due to the fact that we have reached this economic break-even. So I think we should strive for that 52 gigawatts. We should also, as the industry, make sure that this target is not going to be surpassed. We can contribute to a moderation, and what also we have actively done, and you can simply see that in the numbers, you know that we are very flexible in allocating products to the different segments. In the first half 2010, very clear that the German market was dominating, but our subsidiaries, in particular in Europe, they were crying for products, and we didn't serve them because it was all going into the German market. I think it's now fair in the third quarter to say, okay, let's cool down the German situation a bit, but put more into the international sales, and what we sold, 55%, I think is a proof that Phoenix Solar's internationalization works.
Yeah, but just coming back to what I was asking, do you think there could be discussions around a cap, say, for the middle of next year, if installations reach between 8 to 9 gigawatts this year?
No, I think it depends a lot how this market is going to go. I don't think 8 gigawatt alone is an indicator. Okay, from the EEG, we have the maximum feed-in tariff cuts achieved, anything above 6.5 gigawatt. So that means a further cut starting at 7.5 gigawatt is not built in the current EEG. So when we're ending up between something between 7 and 8 gigawatt, I think the conclusion could be that this is more or less in the scope of the EEG. If the politicians and the decision makers see that the market is cooling down in the second half, what we currently see, so that the feed-in tariff cut has an effect, this can be a very helpful argument in potential discussions coming up about a hard cap at the beginning of next year. We will see these discussions in spring. It's not only H2 2010, it's also first quarter sales and installations 2011, which are going to affect the discussion of a cap or no. Surely there are hardliners in all parties down there, in the coalition parties, and there will be some guys bringing and raise the issue of the cap, but whether this is going to be followed by a majority is strongly depending on the market growth. So that's a clear take. It depends on the market size, H2 2010 and Q1 2011, whether we see a more intensive discussion about the cap.
Perfect. Thanks.
The next question comes from Michael Tappheiner from UniCredit. Please, Mr. Tappheiner, may we have your question now?
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions. One is in terms of the power plant business and the other one for the group. The power plant business, do you expect that you can compensate the expected shortfall in demand for solar parks in Germany via your international business in 2011? That's the first question. And the second question is in terms of your overall market expectations for next year, in terms of what you're saying, Germany 6 gigawatt and rest of the world plus 15-20% implies that you're seeing a flat global market next year. So what are you expecting for your Phoenix Solar sales for next year? Market is expecting sales growth. Do you think this is realistic?
Yes, we believe. Also, we haven't issued any indication about the development 2011, but we clearly plan for a growth, and the majority of the growth is going to come from abroad. So there are some very interesting markets in Europe.
we are working at full capacity in Italy in the power plants business. We have very good sales in the components and systems business there. So the internationalization of Phoenix Solar is much broader than it has been in 2008, when we also had a 40% share of international sales, but this was only in Spain, or mainly in Spain. We also had a Greek project, but mainly in Spain, and mainly in the power plant business. Now it's much more widespread. We're talking about good revenues from France, Italy, Greece, and Spain, both in components and systems and in power plants. So it's much broader. Also by 2011, the first contribution should come from the United States. And in addition to that, we're also discussing a couple of projects which, well, look quite good in the Middle East and also in the Far East. So I think there will be more and more potential of international growth, which can then compensate for the German market next year. We have quite intentionally lowered a little bit the presence in Germany this year. It depends a lot how the market's development, whether we're striving for a further market share increase next year in Germany or whether we're trying to keep it flat. Also going forward into 2011, to your second part, yes, we believe that there will be growth. There's probably, to our expectations, be becoming more than 10 gigawatts from foreign markets outside Germany. These include the 4 gigawatts markets, which we mentioned, and I think we're very good placed in the meantime to be able to compensate for the German situation. I think you will see in the next couple of weeks or so some indications also from our side that we're doing great business outside Germany.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Götz Fischbeck from BHF Bank. Please maybe have your question now.
Yes, hello. I have two types of questions. One relates to the wholesale business. Perhaps you could give us an indication, after all, you finished break-even for the quarter. How does that split actually between your international wholesale business, the domestic wholesale business? So if indeed going forward the international fraction will increase, when, at what kind of turnover levels do you expect to then come back to higher profitability levels? And then coming to the power plant business, you have a free order backlog of 83 million euros. How is that split between domestic and international? And do you have any power plant order backlog for Germany already for 2011?
So to the split down of components and systems between international and national, you said margin situation, if I remember correct, or if I understood that correctly. So yep. we only provided the international and national sales. We don't split that up further, but let's say it's of course included in the numbers of 55%. To my guess, it's around 30%, but I'm not fully sure. I don't have the numbers with me. Second, as far as the power plant situation is concerned, I'd like to repeat the international's order backlog around 34 million euros by the end of September 2009, and there will be a couple of further projects being built or being signed since end of September, or let's say in the next couple of weeks.
And the question regarding any project visibility for the German market for 2011 yet? What kind of order are we talking there? How many megawatts?
We are currently working on projects in Germany. However, it's becoming more and more difficult in Germany 2011. So we think we need to see some movements on the pricing area. Otherwise, let's say in particular with the crystalline module prices, no way for projects in Germany. So we flip back basically to thin film products in 2011. We are working on a couple of nice projects, including a conversion side project of 30 to 40 gigawatt, but a megawatt. But how, if this is going to materialize a little bit next year, let's say in the second or third quarter, strongly depends on the module pricing development.
And just relating to my first question, I don't ask the specific margins in your wholesale business, but just to get a feeling, I mean, the fact that indeed with the turnover you had in the quarter, you basically just reached break even on your wholesale business. Did that have to do with specific ramp-up costs or just a low, you know, penetration in certain markets? Or was that the German market where you had to make high price concessions? So the fact that you just ended up, you know, with a break-even margin, was that more driven by concessions in Germany, or was that the situation also internationally that contributed to that very, you know, moderate margin? Just a qualitative answer would really be helpful.
Okay, so this was mostly driven by the German market. due to falling revenues and falling demand caused by feed-in tariffs, you know. We had constant fixed costs, and so we only reached break-even. Another point is we had some write-downs in component and systems for specific module types for safety reasons.
What order were those write-downs, if you could help us out there?
Three specific modules. Please understand, we won't give out the names of the suppliers at the moment. We are thinking that the movement rate could slow down a little bit, and for safety reasons, we made some depreciations.
Right. I'm not asking for the supplier name. I'm just asking for the order of magnitude of the write-downs. Look.
You can find those figures in the notes. We have 2.1 million for the whole segments. I think it's about 2 million for components and systems.
Okay, that was in the third quarter alone?
This was in the third quarter, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Sven Kürten from DZ Bank. Please maybe have your question now.
Yes, thanks for taking my question. The first one is a follow-up. Just to clarify what you said before, did you say that the inverter shortage is over now? Did I understand that correctly? That's the first question. The second one is on France. Maybe you could share with us the latest information you have on a potential cap in France. Thanks.
Well, first question is, yes, the inverter shortage is over. Definitely. So the lead times are very short. There's plenty of products available, which also led to some first cancellations, let's say, over the whole peer universe of inverter orders. So this is done. And to your second question is the France cap. So the latest information I have is that there are still no news, at least I don't know them, about the French cap. There is this indication in the press release, which has been issued a couple of months ago. But it says in French that basically this is a corridor, or you're looking for, let's say, the 500 megawatt. We can derive that they may be talking about a cap. However, to my knowledge, it's not official yet. You should also not forget that in Germany we have a market corridor of 2.5 to 3.5 gigawatt. This is also a corridor where the government wants to move the photovoltaic installations into, but you also know that we have had much more last year and this year and also probably next year. However, this can impose some risk also to the German market situation. So nothing new from my side.
Okay, thanks.
The next question comes from Satya Kumar from Credit Suisse. Please maybe have your question now.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I guess, like, if you look at the German connection data, it probably shows that Q2 was about 70%. Germany was about 70% of worldwide connections maybe in Q2. But the data also shows that Q3 connections are down about 50% quarter on quarter. On the other hand, if you look at shipments from the panel companies, based on their guidance right now, and we are already in the middle of November, they are up about 30% half on half. So I was wondering what...
What do you mean by half by half?
Second half of this calendar year compared to first half of this calendar year.
Yeah.
What do you think is explaining this disconnect? Do you think that there is other markets that are so strong that shipments are growing globally? Or do you think there is a pipeline of German volumes that are in some construction phase but are not yet reported, and that number is going to spike up?
Well, you know, like always, if markets change, those who are a little bit further away from the end market, they will sense market changes a little bit later. So that's history. Look back into 2009. We had this stupid discussion also back in 2008. We were talking to these guys and said, you should lower the prices, also otherwise the market is going to collapse. They wanted to keep prices high, and we got the consequences in 2009, so everybody knows that. So I think we are in a similar situation, and all the players there should be careful how they act, and be doing the same, telling them, look, if you don't come down, the market is going to collapse. We may have similar situation at 2009, but they don't understand, so no lessons learned. So I think it's taking a couple of maybe 1, 2, 3 months from now until also the next steps back in the value chain realize how the market situation is developing. And what's currently happening is if coming out of a market situation like in Q1 and Q2, when everyone runs short out of products,
Of course, you book a lot of products in Q3 and Q4 and probably also in the next beginning of the quarters 2011, just in order to be sure if the market moves into the right direction, then you will be able to deliver. But we also know that if the market is going to be weak, there will be a lot of cancellations out there on any supply. So what happened in the third quarter is that basically the inventory has been filled up at, let's say, at the value chain level following the manufacturers. And this inventory is now full, and it needs to be brought to zero by the end of the year. We have been very cautious in sourcing material in the third and in the fourth quarter, and we have definitely to look now to make the inventory as empty as possible by the end of this year in order to be prepared for the price cuts we're going to see beginning of next year. And this has not yet arrived at the level of the supplier, but I think most of them, they're starting to sense, because if we see end customer prices moving down, that's the first indication that the market is going to change.
Okay, and as a follow-up to that, do you think that in Germany, if I look at your international sales, so domestic sales in Germany, how much are they up year over year in 2010 versus the market in Germany, which appears to be, based on this 8 gigawatt number, is approximately doubling? Do you think that there are channels of distribution and installation that are happening in 2010 that perhaps you're not as exposed to, that there may be other ways that German market is stronger?
Well, if we shift, let's say, more products abroad under the basis of the products which we have available, there's a consequence that the sales in Germany may slow down. That's what we have seen as a result of the feed-in cuts and as a result that of the fact that we steered more products into other markets. So the business model of Phoenix Solar allows for much more flexibility there. And let's see how the reportings of the others look like. I think you will see that sensing that there will be some changes. We also had some profit warnings now. The market is in the phase of change, and I think it will be visible more and more in the next months or so. Well, again, just look back into 2008 and 2009. You have been in this phase, I think, also in the industry, and look back what's happened there. We have to make sure that we avoid to make the same mistakes again.
Got it. Thank you.
The next question comes from Jean-François Meymandi from UBS. May we have your question, please?
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Dr. Hanel, just two things on inventory. You were talking 2 minutes ago about clearing the inventory. I wonder how much of your module inventory now is not committed to installation in Q4? And if so, let's see, if you have some projects in Italy and power plant, especially in Q1, that should smooth down the seasonality you usually have on inventory write-down. And I have a second question on your report. You mentioned that on some projects on power plant in Germany, you did not receive customer acceptance yet, and you retained the right to keep those projects. If you could a bit elaborate on that part as well, would be very useful. Thanks.
Okay, to your first questions, as far as the inventory situation not covered by orders is concerned, this is in a very low two-digit megawatt range, so below 20 megawatts, significantly below. And we're still taking in quite some numbers of orders in these days. So in the last 2-3 days, there was another 6 to 8 million euros order intake. So we're still very confident that we are being in a position to support this currently free volume by orders, let's say, in the next 2 to 3 weeks or so. So there's still, of course, some demand out there, and there's still some demand for products which we can satisfy with the modules still not sold from this point of view. In addition, when we do some projects starting this year and being finalized beginning of next year, it makes sense for those projects which are going to be constructed, let's say, in Italy and France and maybe Greece beginning of next year, that we make sure that we have the products right away when they are needed, and this can be in the mid of January.
And
to your second question, Sabine Kauper is going to answer.
Okay, so yes, we reserve the right to keep some projects on our books for a short period, but really only for a short period. This is due to a sharp increase in sales in the second quarter of power plants because of feed-in tariff changes. And some projects are not invoiced to the end of June. We are grid connected but not invoiced because technical challenges or legal challenges are open. So yes, this is a fact. We only use the project for a short period on our books and are looking for other investors for the case. For example, financing is not sure or other legal affairs are.
Is KJL, you mentioned before that KJL, for example, is willing to take additional volumes. Is that a possible end customers for this project?
I'd like to add something of the remarks of Sabine. Sometimes it makes sense if you hold project rights, if you're the full owner of the project, and this is the case in many projects Phoenix is doing, and if you have at the same time a sharp deadline, like the one on the 30th of June and like this one on the 31st of December this year, to start construction on, let's say, on the own books and then sell it out to customers, because, you know, any project on farmland not being connected to the grid by the end of this year, which falls under the grace period, will definitely get no feed-in tariff beginning of next year. So it doesn't help you if you have a project. You sign the contract, let's say, end of November, beginning of December, and then you don't get it finished. So, yeah, have a high risk in the company if you do start too late. So you're better if you hold all project rights. You start a little bit earlier. You may have it on books for a certain period of time. If you have a look into the results of this quarter, we have around 9 to 10 million booked just for that particular purpose. So the total so-called Gesamtleistung in Germany was about 10 million higher than what you can see in total revenue. This is one of a particular example, and we have been doing that every now and then also in the past.
Okay. And, well, next quarter the situation should be resolved then.
Well, it should be resolved, but it could also be happening. We're currently negotiating a couple of projects, so which definitely need to be connected to the grid by the end of the year, which can easily be sold to customers. We have interest of many investors for these projects, but however, it takes some time to negotiate contract to sign, to get the financing from the banks and so on and so forth. So then this may be too late in order to get it finished by the end of the year. So it's better to start now to secure the project, to secure the revenues and the feed-in tariff, and sell it if possible in December. And this is not, in case this should be not possible, it could be done in January and February. So this can happen every now and then if you look back into the quarterly results of the previous quarters, and if you compare the so-called total revenues to what we call Gesamtleistung in Germany. This has always been a couple of million in the past quarters where we have taken one project from one quarter to the next.
Okay, thanks.
The next question comes from Rob Stone from Cohen and Company. May we have your question, please?
Hi, two questions, if I may. The first one has to do with your comments on pricing, particularly for the Chinese companies. What kind of a posture are you seeing from suppliers based elsewhere vis-a-vis prices going into 2011?
Okay, Rob, let me ask this question first. There are differences. We do see, let's say, this rigid position only from Asian manufacturers. We don't see it from other manufacturers. So we have locked in already a larger volume of thin film products for the coming year, where we have reasonable price declines, which we see in the first quarter. So we are sure that this can help us in the first and in the second quarter. So as I said, we're talking about 150 megawatts, and so we can start very easily into the first quarter, and we have time to wait until prices coming down. And in the Asian environment, there are surely also differences between tier 1, 2, and 3. And like always, I believe that the pressure will come first on tier 3 and 2 and last on tier 1. So probably the tier 1 suppliers in Asia will be the last lowering the prices. This can happen, from my expectations, in the course of the first quarter.
And what about European suppliers? I mean, clearly, by thin film, I assume you're signaling your CadTel supplier.
Well, not only we have more thin film suppliers, we're also talking about larger volumes with other thin film suppliers coming, for example, also from the United States. With the European suppliers, yes, it's difficult. Very honestly, they have been lowering the prices. But nonetheless, the demand for European products is in the best case stagnating, so they are making up surely a smaller portion of our module purchase in the course of next year compared to what we have had in 2010.
Okay. My other question had to do with your view on seasonality for next year. Do you see the industry returning to a more classical sort of 40-60 or even 35-65 split between the first and second half?
Yes, that's my expectations, because I currently believe that 2011, that's secure, so that we will need to see no changes in the feed-in tariff. 2012, we know that there will be another sharp cuts. My expectation is a weak Q1, because the interest is not too high, prices are still too high, so the interest is going to be low, and the seasonality I do expect is similar to the seasonality of 2007 and 2008 and the years before. So my typical distribution is 10% in Q1, 20% in Q2, 30% in Q4, and 40% in Q4, a rough indication about seasonality. So the spike situation, which we have seen two spikes in this year, Q2 and Q4, is not going to happen from my expectations next year.
Great, thank you.
Welcome.
The next question comes from Philip Boom from Chevreux. May we have your question now?
Yes, good afternoon. The first question I have is regarding your people in Germany. If we assume that the German market will be slowing down next year, that you maybe have to reduce your cost by 13% for the customer, for the balance of system cost, for instance, do you consider to cut people in Germany? And mm-hmm. That's my first one. And the second one is, can you give us any information about the UK market, if you believe that this could be a future market in the next couple of years, and what are the differences between the German market and so on? So maybe some information about the UK.
Yes, of course. Okay, having in mind that the German market might slow down, we are cautious in building up people in Germany. Only to the necessary extent, and mainly in those departments which work, let's say, for the whole Phoenix group, like people in marketing as an example, or in other areas where we know that we centrally steer our activities from Germany. So this is a field truly where we can build up people. In sales, we are much more cautious, and there will be more building of people abroad. So in new markets, which we currently do not serve, maybe in particular also in those markets where we already are present with subsidiaries. So we're cautious on building up in Germany. We're going to shift it more to the markets abroad. And from today's perspective, I'm very positive that we don't need to lay off people, because in the current planning process, we also take into account how the German market could develop. Second question, UK market. Yes, definitely, that's an interesting market. We are analyzing the market, how much potential this one has for Phoenix. There are already some changes in the market right now expected in the UK. So surely we're going to have a look at the market in the next couple of months or so, but definitely we think this could be one of the growth markets in Europe in the next years.
And can you describe the market situation in the UK? I'm not sure, but I think it's less than 100 megawatt installed, accumulated, and the feed-in tariff seems to be okay. It's a kind of rooftop market, but also project market maybe. I really don't know. So.
Well, as we are not active in the market yet, I'm not too familiar with the UK market. I can't support the 100 megawatts, so probably have to look for other sources. But our analysis has shown that the market has potential, could be an interesting market for Phoenix, and it also definitely shows that the feed-in tariff can pay off. So it can be interesting for installers, system integrators, and also for customers. And as this is the case, it can be an interesting market both for components and systems and for power plants. And I believe that we're going to have a much closer look into the UK in 2011. But for this year, we are done. We are putting a lot of efforts into the US market. So we have built up, I think, around 8 people there. We want to make a flying start in the United States. So this is already taking a lot of management efforts. We have constantly people here. So there are three people here currently at the moment being trained in the headquarters here, coming from the US. There will be others coming. So they're currently building up. We try to support them. Malaysia surely is a much smaller operation. So we're talking more about an office character, trying to profit from the potential market development beginning of next year. But it's also clearly for us that two new market entries and the one which includes the United States, that's definitely enough for a year. Let's look into 2011. Let's see what's happening in the UK. We are clearly having the UK market as a target market.
Okay, great. Thank you for taking my question.
Welcome.
The next question comes from Mehdi Hosseini from Susquehanna. May we have your question now?
Yes, thanks for taking my question. Dr. Hanel, going back to Satya's commentary, do you see a situation in Germany where as some of these big projects are installed, the actual number of megawatts installed for 2010 would actually go above 7.5 or 8 gigawatts? As these big projects are connected in Q4, is there?
You mean so with these projects, at the total market of 8 gigawatts?
Yes.
Or you mean all these projects alone, only with these projects?
With as these projects, big projects are completed and connected
yeah.
to the grid.
Yeah.
For the in the rest of the Q4, could that create a scenario where overall German installation would go actually above 8 gigawatts?
Well, let me answer that question first. As we have seen from December 2009, when we saw a peak in installation of more than a gigawatt, or let's say registration, it was definitely not the projects being installed in December, because the November month was the strongest month of the year. However, the registrations took place in December. There can be a similar situation, or it's very likely that we see the highest value in December, maybe close or slightly above the values in 2009. But you should also not forget that the situation for bringing systems to the grid by the end of the year is much, much more risky than it has been last year, because if it's on farmland, any installation will be null and void beginning of next year. You'd simply have to dismantle if you can't get the grid connection by the end of the year. So all companies are going to be extremely cautious in order to finalize any farmland installations by the end of the year, with the risk to get stuck in the German winter. So I think this is one reason why I think that this is slowing down the large-scale projects business in Q4. Next reason is there's another risk, of course, feed-in cuts beginning of next year of 13%. If you do it on a conversion side, this is already also a high risk, where many companies probably try to avoid this risk. And third, there are business opportunities and project opportunities abroad in Europe, France, Italy, Greece, Bulgaria, Czech Republic, and whatsoever. So I think more of our peers, like we are doing, are concentrating more on these sales outside Germany. So I do not expect a particular high registration of these large-scale installations, not significantly higher than last year. And in total, a market volume of 8 gigawatts, that's what I've already assumed. That's what we have also assumed in the study together with A.T. Kearney. So it could be positive, so it could be below 8 gigawatts. It could be also slightly above 8 gigawatt, but I think far away from the 9.5 gigawatt, which we've heard from the grid operators, and to some expectations going up to 10 gigawatts on the German market. I think given the development in July, August, and September, this seems to be very unlikely for me.
Got it. So if we assume 7.5 to 8 gigawatt, the actual feed-in tariff would decline by more than 13%, actually would be 28 to 30% January of 11 compared
yeah.
to January 10. So don't you think that pricing pressure could be more than what has been discussed over the past hour?
Well, that's a good point which you're making. That's completely right, that the feed-in cuts, the feed-in tariff has been lowered on the 1st of July and once again on the 1st of October, including the large-scale projects. But my belief is, at least for Phoenix Solar, I can say that none of the projects which we are doing to the end of the year really sees these feed-in cuts, because all projects are profiting from the grace period 25th of March this year. So physically, we will see three cuts. And you're completely right. We're physically going to see three cuts beginning of next year, the July, the 1st of October, and the 1st of January cut. And this is going to be a really a difficult situation next year to really make installations at reasonable margins. So we're already very cautious on the German market. Our planning for the next years only accounts for a very limited amount of megawatts on the German market. The rest is all going to be abroad.
So when you talk about 6 gigawatts for Germany next year, what are the kind of elasticity or module prices that would enable 6 gigawatts and not 3 gigawatts?
Well, the majority of the market volume will be roof-mounted market next year, probably much more than 90%. So we're going back to the volumes of 2000, or let's say the market share of 2008 and 7. And so we have to cope at least for the feed-in cuts for the roof-mounted projects in order to be able to keep the market at 6 gigawatt. Even, let's say, a gigawatt or so is being missed by larger installations. And so if we meet the 13% on the system level, I think that we can reach that 6 gigawatt. There's upside potential, as I said earlier in the conference call, if we see prices being below the 13% or going down below the 13%. And maybe some changes in the EEG 2012, which may lead to some pull-in effects into 2011. So surely some pull-in effects, let's say some effects which can even increase the market size. But if you see the pricing doesn't move as expected, it can also be below 6.
Thank you.
Well, I think now having a look at the time, it's almost a quarter past 5. I think I'd like to call for the last question, and I think then we should finish the conference call for today.
Yes, and the last question comes from Matthew Bates from the Bank of America. Maybe have your question now.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for squeezing in the question. I'm trying to reconcile, obviously, your comments with that from the Chinese manufacturers. You have very differing views on pricing. You say it's either inventory build or the only other option I could think of is, are you seeing any evidence that end customers are prepared to accept lower rates of returns, perhaps in the context of the cost of debt has come down or the yields on government bonds are less attractive?
Well, this is the case since all the year, and the market reaction which we currently see, the feed-in cuts which have been mainly to be accepted by the end customers currently leads to the reaction which we see. The market is weaker, and the demand is not as many may have expected, and then customer prices are moving down. So I clearly believe that after three consecutive feed-in cuts, without any significant price reductions to the end customer, we definitely need to see a movement beginning of next year, because otherwise we will see a kind of, let's say, customer strike like back in 2009. I'm very sure that customers will not at all be willing once again to absorb all the price cuts, the feed-in cuts in their pricing and in their margins. Then it will go below the values which seem to be attractive to end customers. And I also said that everyone has to make its contribution because the module makers have to bring down prices, no question. But also, let's say, the balance of system side, and this includes also system integrators like Phoenix, they have to make a contribution on the balance of system sides that prices come down by 13%. You shouldn't forget that modules typically make up only 50% in the meantime of the total system cost, and 50% is already balance of system.
All right, thanks a lot. Good luck.
Okay, welcome. So from my side, that was the last question and the last answer. I would like to thank you on my and Sabine's behalf for being present in this conference call. Thank you very much and have a nice day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This will conclude today's conference call. We thank you for your participation. Goodbye and have a good time.